All right, well, over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about God bringing about a miracle in your life. You know what, friends? God has got an awesome miracle in store for you. He's got financial provision in store for you. What else has God got in store for you? He's got healing of your body in store for you. He has got deliverance in store for you. Deliverance from alcohol. Deliverance from drugs. Deliverance from looking at the wrong things. God has got a miracle in store for you. You've got to expect a miracle from God, but God is requiring something of us in order for Him to bring about His miracle in our lives. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6 clearly, the thing that pleases God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, because he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So in order for God to bring about that miracle in our lives, He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to have faith in Him that He can bring about this miracle of financial provision or healing in your body or peace in your emotions or deliverance from alcoholism and drugs and maybe a wrong relationship. He wants you to believe with childlike faith that He can do it for you. And He wants you to have a persistent faith, a faith that does not give up. Now, in addition to faith, God is requiring something of us for Him to bring about His miracle in our lives. You can have faith and believe that God wants to bless you and bring you to a bigger place than where you're at right now. But you've got to take a step of faith for God to bring about His miracle in our lives. And friends, if you see yourself as defeated, as beat down, as never accomplishing anything, never getting ahead, if you see yourself that way with a negative self-image, you'll never take the step necessary in faith to receive the miracle that God has for you and for me. You've got to see yourself the way God sees you. And last week we talked about this, that God sees you as highly valuable. You are worth more than all the gold, the silver, and the diamonds in this world to Almighty God. Why? Why are you so valuable to God? Because you're created in the image of God. Part of God is on the inside of each and every single one of us. Another reason as to why we're so valuable to God is because we have an important part in the body. We're valuable because you're valuable because you have a special part in the body of Christ. Without you doing your part in the body of Christ suffers. You may be the hands in the body, putting up the chairs, taking the chairs down, helping prepare the meals, cleaning up after the meals. Without you doing your part of setting the seats out, people would not have a place to sit. The body would suffer. So you're valuable because you have an important part in the body of Christ, a special function. And finally, you're so valuable because the price paid for you was so high. What price was paid for you and for me? The price of the blood of Jesus Christ. Your value is determined by the price paid for you. And the blood of infinite worth, the blood of Jesus Christ, whose value is out of this world, that blood was paid for you and for me. And because its value is out of this world and it was paid for us, that means that our value in the sight of God is out of this world. You are valuable and you are valuable to God. So you've got to have a healthy self-esteem, a positive self-image to take the step necessary in faith to receive the miracle that God has for you. You know, you may believe that God has the miracle of more financial provision for you. How many here need more finances in their lives? All of us, right? And, you know, you could believe that, God, you are the provider. You can give me more finances. But you know what? He's not necessarily just going to hand it to us. We have to do something. We have to believe that God can provide for us financially. But we have to do something. We have to take a step. And what does that step include in this case? That step could include filling out job applications. It could include interviewing. But if you don't feel good about yourself, if you don't have a positive self-image, if you don't see yourself as valuable the way God sees you, you can't take that step of filling out applications, of interviewing, of going door to door and saying, you know what, I'm available to work. So in order for God to bring about his miracle in your life, you've got to have faith in God. Trust in God that he is the God of the impossible. He's the God who makes the impossible possible. But you also got to see yourself as God sees you, as valuable, as being able to do all things through Jesus Christ who gives you strength. Now tonight, I want to talk about a subject that I think is really important in this area. And we've all heard messages on forgiving others of the wrongs that they've done against us, right? Somebody's harmed you, somebody has said something wrong against you, and you've heard ministers and preachers preach on forgiving the people who have hurt you, releasing those people of the debt that they owe us, right? How many have heard a message on forgiveness towards others? Well, let me ask you this tonight. Who are we, who are you in contact with 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Yourself. It's the person that you look at every morning in the mirror. And so tonight I want to talk for the next few minutes this afternoon on the subject of forgiving yourself. Forgiving yourself. And you might be wondering tonight, well, does the Bible talk about forgiving yourself? And yes, there is a scripture that Jesus gave us concerning this issue of forgiving yourself. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 22. Chapter 22, Matthew 22, verse 34. I'll read it if you don't have a Bible. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested Jesus with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So let's concentrate on Matthew 22, verse 39. Matthew 22, 39. Jesus said, and love your neighbor as you what yourself? Love your neighbor as you dislike yourself? No, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And let me ask you this afternoon. What is a core element of love? What is a component, a big component of love? Trust. An element of love is forgiveness. Love your neighbor, forgive your neighbor as you love yourself, as you forgive yourself. You know, if you don't release your mind from meditating on the wrong you've done in the past, if you're always going back to your past and saying, I've done this wrong, I said this wrong, I thought this wrong, and it can never be any better for me. You're living in a prison called the past. And if you're always going back to your past and regretting what you could have done but didn't do, then guess what? Friends, you're not forgiving yourself. And if you're not forgiving yourself, then you are hating yourself. Why? Because a big part of love and loving your neighbor as you love yourself is forgiving. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Forgive your neighbor as you forgive yourself. You know, if you're not loving yourself, you don't have anything to give to anybody else. If you feel good about yourself, you're overflowing with God's love, then you can love others. You can forgive others. You know, subconsciously, you could beat up on yourself and think, I would have, I should have, I could have. I could have married that person if I did that. I could have had that job if I did such and such, but I never did it. I could have had that education if I just did that. But man, I wish I had done it. What are you doing? You're beating up on yourself. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 32. Ephesians 4, verse 32, if you have a Bible this afternoon. And this is what Paul the Apostle writes to the Ephesians. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, all of your sins, up until the point that you accepted Jesus, were forgiven in the heart and in the mind of God. They were erased in the heart and in the mind of God. When you accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, you were clothed with a robe of righteousness. You were justified. And what does it mean to be justified? Justified is just as if I had never sinned. So when you accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord, what happens? All of your sins up until that point were forgiven by God. And when you slip and you get weak, you say, God, I'm sorry, I messed up, I've slipped. He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins, right? So God forgave you in Christ Jesus when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But now let's look at Ephesians 5:1. What does Ephesians 5:1 say? Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. It says, be ye therefore imitators of God. Well, in the arena we're talking about tonight, forgiveness, God forgave us when we accepted Jesus, right? And if we're to be imitators of God and obeying this scripture, what does that mean? That just as God in Christ forgave us, that means that we have got to forgive ourselves as well. If God forgave us, and we're to be imitators of God, Ephesians 5:1, that means that we are to forgive ourselves of the wrong and the sin that we've committed in the past. Do you agree with that tonight? If you're not imitating God in this area, if you're not forgiving yourself as God has forgiven you in Christ, then you're not being true to the Scripture. In essence, you're not obeying this part of the Word of God. So tonight I want to talk about forgiving yourself in three different ways. How do you forgive yourself? Three different ways. Number one, you release your mind from keeping a record of your past wrongs. Look at 1 Corinthians, if you have a Bible, 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Paul writes a beautiful chapter in 1 Corinthians 13 on God's love and what God's love is all about. And in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, he says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, and the love of God keeps no record of wrongs. So how do you forgive yourself in these three ways? Number one, release yourself from keeping a record of your past wrongs. Number one. Number two, how do you forgive yourself? Release yourself from thoughts of regret. What do thoughts of regret sound like? This is the way they sound. I would have, I could have, I should have. If only this happened, if I only did this. Release yourself, friends, from regret. As you release yourself from regret, you're forgiving yourself. The third way in which you forgive yourself is by releasing yourself from beating up on yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, not as you hate yourself. If you're hating yourself, you're beating up on yourself. But if you're loving yourself, you're forgiving yourself of your past wrongs. Seeing yourself as God sees you. God sees you as forgiven. When God looks at you now, he sees Jesus. He sees a clean slate. So for the next few minutes, in closing this off, I want to talk about some practical steps to help you in forgiving yourself. As I just said, seeing yourself as God sees you. When God sees you, when God looks at you, he sees Jesus. And Jesus is the perfect one, the spotless Lamb of God. When you accepted Jesus and Savior as Lord, God doesn't see your past. He sees Jesus. Another way that you begin to forgive yourself is seeing yourself the way God sees you. And how do we know how God sees us? How do we know how God sees us?
God
That's faith. By what the Word tells us. By what the Word tells us. The Word tells us how God sees us. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. And this is part of how God sees us. Romans 8 verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Friends, when thoughts of guilt and condemnation come to your mind, that's not God. Because God doesn't see you that way. God does not put condemnation and guilt on us. Guess whose work that is? When you start to feel condemned, you start getting down on yourself, you start beating up on yourself, that is the devil doing it to you. He is a liar and the author of all lies. So how does God see you? God sees you as with no condemnation. You've got to see yourself that way, without guilt and without condemnation, has been covered by the blood of Jesus. Now, let me read this story to you. It illustrates the point. The devil and the duck. There was a little boy visiting his grandparents on their farm. He was given a slingshot to play with out in the woods. He practiced in the woods, but he could never hit the target. Getting a little discouraged, he headed back for dinner. As he was walking back, he saw Grandma's pet duck. Just out of impulse, he let the slingshot fly, hit the duck square in the head, and killed it. He was shocked and grieved. In a panic, he hid the dead duck in the woodpile, only to see his sister watching. Sally had seen it all, but she said nothing. After lunch the next day, Grandma said, "Sally, let's wash the dishes." But Sally said, "Grandma, Johnny told me he wanted to help in the kitchen." Then she whispered to him, "Remember the duck?" So Johnny did the dishes. Later that day, Grandpa asked if the children wanted to go fishing, and Grandma said, "I'm sorry, but I need Sally to help make supper." Sally just smiled and said, "Well, that's all right, because Johnny told me he wanted to help." She whispered again, "Remember the duck?" So Sally went fishing and Johnny stayed to help. After several days of Johnny doing both his chores and Sally's, he finally could not stand it any longer. He came to Grandma and confessed he had killed a duck. Grandma knelt down, gave him a hug, and said, "Sweetheart, I know. You see, I was standing at the window and I saw the whole thing. But because I love you, I forgave you. I was just wondering how long you would let Sally make a slave of you." What's the thought for the day and every day thereafter? Whatever is in your past, whatever you have done, and the devil keeps throwing it up in your face, lying, debt, fear, hatred, anger, unforgiveness, bitterness, and might I add, wrong relationships, drugs, alcohol, so forth and so on, whatever it is, you need to know that God was standing at the window and he saw the whole thing. He has seen your whole life. He wants you to know that he loves you and that you are forgiven. He's just wondering how long you will let the devil make a slave of you. When thoughts of guilt from the past try to arise, say, "Devil, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you." God sees you as not guilty. And that's the way you've got to see yourself, as not guilty, as your past being erased. You say, "Satan, in the name of Jesus," the Word of God says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." As you quote the Word, which is the sword of the Spirit, you start to swing your sword, the Word of God. Guess what? The enemy will have to leave. He'll have to flee. Another way that God sees you is 2 Corinthians 5:17. And this is what it says. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come." When the enemy tries to tell you, you're still the old man, the sinful old man that you were in the past, you tell him, "No, that's not the way God sees me. According to God's Word in 2 Corinthians 5:17, God sees me as a new creation." And friends, that's the way you've got to see yourself, the way God sees you, as a new creation. Amen? Amen. Is that making sense this afternoon? All right. Hebrews 10, another scripture. Hebrews 10. Whenever guilt tries to creep up in your mind, remember Hebrews 10, verse 19. through 22. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure waters. Having our hearts sprinkled with what? To cleanse us from a guilty conscience. Having our hearts sprinkled with the blood of Jesus to cleanse us from a guilty conscience. So whenever the enemy tries to bring up your past so that you would not forgive yourself, you call out on the blood of Jesus and say, I plead the blood of Jesus, I call on the blood of Jesus to cover my heart, and guilt, you have got to leave my conscience. You have no place in my heart, in Jesus' name, according to Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 22. Does that make sense? When he tries to bring up your past so that you would not forgive yourself, when the devil tries to do that, quote 1 Corinthians 13:5. Satan, God's love holds no record of wrongs. So I am not going to hold a record of wrongs against myself. I am walking in forgiveness towards myself. And friends, as you meditate on these scriptures and speak them to yourself, guess what? You'll start forgiving yourself. The Word of God says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks within himself, so is he. The words you speak to yourself over and over will influence what? The words you speak over yourself repeatedly will influence the way that you think. Start speaking these words, the words of God, over your mind. Let the Word of God condition the way you think. And friends, the way you think towards yourself eventually will be the way you act toward yourself. Right? The way you think towards yourself will be the way you act toward yourself. God, through His Word, sees you as forgiven. That's the way you've got to think of yourself, as forgiven without a guilty conscience. And as you start thinking of yourself as God thinks of you according to His Word, guess what? You'll start to forgive yourself. You'll be able to take the step of faith that God requires for Him to give you the miracle that He has in store for you. But you've got to take that step of faith, knowing that you're forgiven, knowing that you're valuable in the sight of God, and knowing that God can do it for you. But you've got to have a positive self-image. And as you see yourself the way God sees you, according to His Word and the scriptures that we just read, you'll forget those things which are in the past, and you'll go forward to bigger and better things that God has for you. Philippians 3, just to close it off. This is what it says in Philippians 3, 13. If anybody had a chance to be regretful, it was Paul the Apostle. But this is what he says in Philippians 3:13. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken a hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining on toward what is ahead. Friends, do not let the devil shackle you to your past. If you're shackled to the past, you can never take the step forward towards the destiny and the plan that God has for you. Begin to forgive yourself like God in Christ has already forgiven you. Let me say that again. Begin to forgive yourself just as God in Christ has already forgiven you. Wash your mind with the Word of God. I'm a new creation in Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things which are behind. And start speaking these scriptures over your heart, over your mind. And as you do that, you'll start believing it. You'll start walking in forgiveness toward yourself. You'll start seeing yourself as God sees you. Does that make sense this afternoon? Amen? God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. He's got such a wonderful plan for your life. And He wants you to know that you're forgiven. And when you slip up and you get weak and maybe you struggle in a certain area, just call out on the name of Jesus. Call out on the blood of Jesus and say, God, I'm getting weak in this area. Help me. And God will give you His grace and His strength to overcome that weakness. He is the miracle working God. Amen? All right.